Warning. This story discusses intimate partner violence that may be triggering for some readers. The Surrey-based police watchdog is not recommending changes to the Crown in connection with the 2024 police shooting death of a Surrey mom. In the early morning hours of September 19, 2024, Surrey RCMP received a call about a disturbance at a home in Cloverdale, in the 6200 block of 180A Street. Police say a woman, whom family later identified as Vanessa Renteria Valencia, had locked herself in the bathroom with her daughter and was allegedly holding a pair of scissors near the child. Less than an hour later, at about 5:30 a.m., an officer shot Vanessa, who died at the scene. The Independent Investigations Office, EO, the independent civilian oversight agency of the police in British Columbia, started an investigation into the shooting shortly after Vanessa's death. In a public report released Friday, September 26, the chief civilian director of the IIO, Jessica Berglund, stated, "I do not consider that there are reasonable grounds to believe that an officer may have committed an offense under any enactment and therefore the matter will not be referred to Crown Counsel for consideration of charges. This is a tragic case involving a person who was loved by her friends, family and community. The child will now grow up without their mother. It has impacted the lives of many people," the report, released on Friday, September 26, says. However, on a review of all the evidence, it was reasonable for the officer to believe that there was a threat of grievous bodily harm or death to the baby when he shot Vanessa, and that the force used was necessary to protect the baby. Battered Women's Support Services, a Vancouver-based advocacy organization, is critical of the report. "The IIO reinforced police framing instead of exposing structural failure," said Angela Marie McDougall, executive director of BWSS, in a statement. "The outcome, a child without her mother, was preventable and is evidence of state-inflicted femicide." Vanessa had moved to Canada from Colombia with her partner in 2022. She was an active community member and was set to start English lessons in what would be the week after her death. In a previous interview with Black Press Media, Vanessa's sister, Sandra, said her sister and niece had spent at least 2 months staying in two temporary shelters for women who were experiencing intimate partner violence. But Vanessa left the shelter in late August when she could not find a place to live, and she returned to the Cloverdale home where she lived with her husband and brother-in-law. "This was a mental health crisis to the extent it was a gender-based violence crisis and a housing crisis," McDougall said. McDougall said the report shows the absence of risk assessment, language access and trauma-informed intervention. "Policing escalated rather than de-escalated the crisis," she said. The IIO report shows evidence was collected from a variety of statements from 17 civilian witnesses, 3 first responders, and 11 police officers who were witnesses. The officer who was the subject of the investigation is not required to submit their notes and reports, and in this case, they declined to provide any account to the IIO. "The office's silence highlights systemic impunity," McDougall said. The report included a timeline of events from September 18, 2024 to the morning of September 19, 2024, when Vanessa died. Editor's note: the report identifies Vanessa only as affected person, or AP, for privacy reasons. The following account uses her name. Sept. 18, 2024. Prior to this day, the IIO reported what many friends and family members had already confirmed, that Vanessa had spent at least 2 months staying in two temporary shelters for women who were experiencing intimate partner violence. Some friends and family told the IIO that Vanessa was not herself and acting strangely in the days leading up to her death. Civilian witness 2 said that Vanessa believed someone was following her. The witness found the baby's stuffed animal in the garbage. When CW2 inquired why the stuffed animal was there, Vanessa told them that she believed there were cameras hidden inside, the report reads. On the morning of September 18, Vanessa visited a friend's home, civilian witness 3, and told her she felt unsafe and she wanted her daughter to be in a safe place with her sister. Vanessa then suddenly left her friend's home, which caused the friend to be concerned for Vanessa's welfare and call the police, out of concern for the safety of Vanessa and her baby. A high-risk missing person file was opened that day, but the police were unable to locate her. At 4:10 p.m., Vanessa texted her friend to say that she had felt better after going to church and that everything was okay. She then stopped replying to the friend's texts. Later that evening, at 9 p.m., police performed a wellness check on Vanessa and her daughter. A police officer, Witness Officer 1, spoke to Vanessa and her family and felt that she was not suicidal. After the wellness check, Vanessa made a series of calls to her family during which she exhibited signs of fear and anxiety. Vanessa's family had concerns about her well-being but were unable to attend physically as they reside outside of Canada, reads the report. 911 call and police arrival, 4:35 a.m. to 5:10 a.m. Civilian Witness 1 called 911 at 4:35 a.m. and told them Vanessa had locked herself in the bathroom with her daughter. A Spanish interpreter joined the 911 call, and Civilian Witness 1 told them that Vanessa did not have any weapons on her in the bathroom. The officers dispatched to Vanessa's home were told by dispatch that a male called stating Vanessa was being aggressive, there was a baby in the house, she was breaking things and had locked herself in the bathroom and had recently made suicidal remarks. There were four people inside the suite of the home where Vanessa lived when police arrived: Civilian Witness 1, who called 911, Civilian Witness 2, Vanessa and her daughter. Police could hear yelling coming from the bathroom where Vanessa was with her daughter. They could also hear Vanessa screaming and hitting the door with something. At 4:51 a.m., a police officer, Witness Officer 2, requested a Spanish-speaking officer from dispatch, as Vanessa and the two witnesses in the home spoke little English, but none were available. Officers on scene used Google Translate instead. Using Google Translate, an officer asked the civilian witness one several questions: if Vanessa had ever done this before, breaking things, yelling and screaming, or barricading herself in a room, to which they answered no. Vanessa's sister was called, and the call was placed on speakerphone outside the bathroom door in an attempt to calm her down. The sister later told the IIO that she heard her sister over the phone saying, "God give me strength, I hope God can forgive you, why did you do that to me, and, sissy." One of the officers called paramedics to assist with a mental health apprehension, described in the report as, when someone is taken into custody if they are deemed a danger to themselves or others due to a mental disorder. By this time, it was around 5:08 p.m. and a fifth officer had arrived on scene. Officers were reluctant to kick down the door at that point, as they did not know where Vanessa was in the room with her daughter, and there was no evidence that she would harm her daughter. Through Google Translate, a police officer asked Civilian Witness 1 if Vanessa had ever said anything about hurting her daughter. The witness responded, "Yes, he, sick, said he was going to hurt the baby." The witness later told IIO investigators that he did not think Vanessa would actually hurt the baby, but acknowledged after being shown the messages that he did tell police what is transcribed in those messages. There was no previous history to suggest that Vanessa would hurt her baby. Berglund said at a press conference at the IIO offices in Surrey that she does not know if that was what Civilian Witness 1 actually meant what he said. Due to the urgency of the circumstances, officers didn't confirm the accuracy of the Google Translate interaction, Berglund later told Black Press Media. Berglund added that Google Translate was not the most effective means of trying to communicate between the person in the house and the police. "I found that the officers did do the best with the tools that they had available to them at the time, and it's very unfortunate that there was no Spanish-speaking officer available at the critical moments," Berglund added. "Although it is not certain that this would have effectively de-escalated the situation," the report reads. Screenshots of the Google Translate conversation between WO2 and CW1 taken after the incident. Independent Investigations Office in BC. Door is kicked down by police, 5:11 a.m. to 5:24 a.m. A police officer on scene stated over the radio, "We got an update with Google Spanish Translator that she's gonna imminently hurt the baby, so we're going to be kicking the door." Four police officers on scene formed a line outside the bathroom door and witness officer 2 kicked it in. Police did not enter the bathroom initially, and over the next several minutes, police told Vanessa to drop the knife and drop the scissors. In the report, police stated that they could see Vanessa holding what they thought at the time was a knife to her daughter's neck. At 5:14 a.m. another police officer, witness officer 5, radioed for the emergency response team and several minutes later asked for an officer who spoke Spanish. At that time, several other officers arrived on scene, including the officer under investigation, but none spoke Spanish. The officers remained outside the bathroom talking to Vanessa and were in a tactical formation, stack, which consisted of 2 lines, side by side facing the bathroom. 2 officers, the subject of the investigation and 1 referred to as witness officer 3, had their firearms out, while witness officer 2 had a 40mm less lethal weapon and witness officer 4 had a taser. At 5:21 a.m., witness officer 8 arrived on scene and went into the home and heard Vanessa screaming in Spanish. He could also hear the baby crying. He heard witness officer 2 play a phrase on his phone using Google Translate and then repeat in Spanish multiple times, "Tijeras abajo, scissors down," trying to get Vanessa to drop the scissors. At 5:24 a.m. witness officer 5 was informed that a Spanish-speaking officer was available from a different police department. Due to the volume of noise in the room, the officer requested the Spanish-speaking officer attend in person and was told they were on their way. 5:24 a.m. to 5:26 a.m. lethal force authorized. Witness officer 5 was the senior officer in charge and later told IIO investigators that the taser and 40mm less lethal weapon would be deployed if Vanessa left the bathroom. The officer told the subject officer to use lethal force if Vanessa started to harm the baby. At 5:24 a.m. Vanessa removed the scissors from against the baby's neck and placed them on the edge of the bathtub. The officers collectively look a step forward. Vanessa reacted and grabbed the scissors. Police believed that Vanessa was going to harm her daughter and the subject officer fired 2 shots. At 5:26 a.m., witness officer 5 broadcasted over that radio that shots were fired. Police entered the bathroom and removed Vanessa and her unharmed daughter. Despite life-saving measures by paramedics, firefighters and police, Vanessa succumbed to her injuries at 5:45 a.m. She had been hit by both rounds that the subject officer fired. The report explained why the less lethal options were not used, which were that the taser could harm the baby if deployed and that the officer did not have a good line of sight to use the taser. The officers were also not able to determine if there was water in the bathtub where Vanessa was. In this case, all the officers interviewed by the IIO who could see Vanessa in the bathtub said that she had a pair of open scissors which were rapidly moving towards the baby's neck. If the scissors struck the neck, the scissors could kill the baby. The officers believed that Vanessa was going to harm the baby with the scissors, and the subject officer's decision to shoot Vanessa was reasonable to protect the baby, the report said. Help for domestic violence. If you or someone you know needs help with an abusive home situation, resources are available. Surrey Women's Center. Surrey Women's Center is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to support women and girls facing gender-based violence and to help care for women and children escaping violence. SurreyWomen'sCenter.ca. Info at SurreyWomen'sCenter.ca. 604-589-1868. Battered Women's Support Services. BWSS offers support and assistance for those in crisis, including community resources and referrals to transition houses, lawyers and medical services. Crisis line at 604-687-1867, Metro Vancouver, or toll-free 1-855-687-1868. Email: intake@bwss.org. Website: bwss.org.